Heads, and welcome to Glitch Therapy episode number 139. I am your host, Ramondo. I am joined today by Ben.
What's up?
Joe.
Hey.
And of course.
Mama.
What?
That was exceptionally fast for you, Jose. That was good.
Yeah. That was a good one. Yeah.
That was much faster than normal. I mean, I don't know what mama meant, but yes.
He's had that extra cold brew today.
Yeah, we're joined by mama, apparently. There you go. How are you doing, mama? I don't even like saying that to you. It just feels weird.
Can we start calling
me mama,
now?
I'm not doing it. I refuse.
That's good.
Hey, mom.
Got to come up with a bunch of like euphemisms that only a mama would say, you know, like.
I think you know what you're asking for.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the end of that sentence.
Mm-mm. Don't do it.
It's too early.
What are some things only mama says? I wonder what I always want to be like, what would ChatGPT say to
in this situation?
Yeah. What are some things that only mama says? Oh, he's pulling it up.
I'm sure you've asked ChatGPT plenty of stuff.
Oh, I've argued with ChatGPT about some stupid shit before. My wife will look over and I'll be like typing on my phone. She'll be like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm fucking arguing with a robot right now. What does it look like I'm doing?
It's not even a robot.
Future is now. There you go.
Really stupid.
I could see Ben just raging on his phone. Like, I hate you, ChatGPT. Go to hell.
No, I'm more just like seeing what it says to certain things and testing its like logical skills and stuff. And
don't forget to call me when you get there.
Don't forget to call me when you get there and see. Although my wife says that sometimes.
Eat your vegetables. They're good for you.
Yeah.
I got a list of 10. You want me to keep going?
Those are your top hits.
Yeah, I opened up ChatGPT real quick.
The title of today's episode, Eat Your Vegetables. They're good for you.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, these are all pretty standard things, yeah.
Yeah.
Always wear clean underwear just in case.
Just in case.
Did you ask ChatGPT what does mama say?
A list of things only a mama would say.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I would never say any of those.
I mean, ChatGPT is not wrong.
I would go ghetto. I'm like, I'm going to whoop your ass.
I don't think ChatGPT is going to say that.
A list of things.
Ghetto mama.
Only a papa.
See how sexist.
Give me a list of things only a creepy uncle would say.
Oh, perfect.
A creepy uncle? Oh, God. Let's hear this real quick.
Yeah, it's really vanilla bullshit that doesn't need to be repeated.
Okay.
It's like, you smell better when you're sleeping.
It said, I'll aim for the truly lighthearted and keep away from the truly uncomfortable. Here's a playful list of blah, blah, blah. Bunch of safe things.
Fair.
Well, that's not fun.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what has been fun. I'll tell you what has been fun. That Stellar Blade demo, baby. If you haven't tried that, what's good? Has anybody touched this yet? Stellar Blade?
Not yet. I gotta get on that.
I've heard that game has a really excellent plot.
Yeah, great plot, great personality.
That's what I'm playing it for.
Is describing a first date or what are we talking about?
100% playing that for the excellent storytelling and plot.
Dude, no, but seriously, the game I just picked the demo, but it's a lot of fun.
It does look really good. It's just like that first shot is like
those
so fucking
really
gratuitous.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. People that are reporting on it or like making videos about it, they know what they're doing with their thumbnails. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. The game knows what it's doing too.
They're like, come for the thumbnail, stay for the action. Yeah, whatever that
might be. That character is actually based on an actual Korean model. So, yeah. She's out there, guys.
Are all the female protagonists based on actual people?
No, just the main one.
For research purposes.
And then
I'd like her name, please, just for purely for research for the episode, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Sure.
I mean,
academic purposes only.
The game is a lot of fun, though, because it's like, aside from the aesthetic stuff that, you know, you guys are alluding to, like, it plays like Sekiro, but it also has, like, Nier Automata dripping all over it. With the, AI, or not AI, but the, what am I trying to say? With the, you guys get what I'm trying to say, like the, because Nier Automata, they were like, what were they in that game? Weren't they like cyborgs?
Androids.
Androids, yeah.
Yeah.
Like an element of like blending human with like mechanical in a weird way in this game, in a sci-fi way.
Is it like,
oh, sorry, go ahead.
Is it a hack and slash style, or is it more secure on that fighting stance?
It's a bit of both, though. It's like some of that hack and slash, Devil May Cry kind of vibe, or Bayonetta, but then you have to do parries and stuff like you would in Sekiro to break down their guards and stuff like that, so that you can do counter moves on them and that type of vibe. So it definitely blends the two together in a satisfying way. And the demo is nice and long too. It's not like a really short demo where you just play for like 5 or 10 minutes and you're done. Like, it's a good, short demo to give you a good idea of what you're doing.
Can I ask, sort of off topic, sort of not, is Nier Automata like worth, because I've never played it before, is it worth jumping back into and trying out?
Yes,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay,
it's worth it.
Super good.
It's like hack and slash kind of.
Yeah, it's wholly hack and slash, just dodging and shooting. It gives you like a PS2 vibe on it. But I think it's a really good game. Plus, it has 24 different endings.
Oh, really?
It also yeah. plays with the concept of a game, like the ludonarrative sort of stuff, quite a bit. Where like game mechanics and like UI and things like that are actually part of the game mechanics, where you can like turn off parts of your UI or parts of like how you the player would see the game to make the main character stronger and work in different ways. Plus it plays with like story in a really interesting way too, so it's just a good game.
Would it be, is it like kind of more linear open world?
It's like a sandbox.
Yeah,
it drops you into an area and then you kind of explore that area, so it's not open world per se like you would think of if you were playing like a GTA 5 or something like that. Or
so it's more like sandbox is like Tomb Raider. It's where you'll have like sandbox and you move on to the next sandbox and so on.
Yeah, but bigger though. Just bigger hubs like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Like a Witcher 3 before they did the connection where everything is all in one map.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, definitely the hack and slash in there, but there's role playing elements in there as well. A lot of adventure vibes as far as like where the story goes, and it actually goes in some interesting directions with like humans versus, humans that have been, meshed with androids and stuff. Some of that same, I don't know, I don't want to say, we've seen it before in other games where they're kind of like looking at that whole thing of like, is an android that's self-aware a human, or should they be considered, more than just an android and stuff. So it takes some interesting story beats. Definitely worth playing, I think.
Yeah, cool. And the plot is very good.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, good on the plot.
24 endings, that's crazy. I forgot that there was that many. I didn't finish it, so I didn't see any endings. So I guess
I got two endings out of the 24. I think I got like the third to last one, and the very first one, which is you just die on the first mission.
Yeah.
Nice.
You played a ton of it though, Jose. I remember when you were playing that. You were playing that nonstop, more than like the way you play Forza. You were playing that.
Yeah, I was trying to get to like the highest level because there's a lot of secret things about that game that, again, like 24 endings. I wanted to find all those endings, but I couldn't, and I couldn't reach that level 99 to fight that basically impossible boss at the end.
Yeah, it'll be out here officially on the 26th of this month. So
yeah, it looks
out now, so check it out when you get a chance.
Oh, is the demo like still going on? I thought it was over, that's why I didn't jam on it.
It's not a time demo, it's just you can just play the demo anytime. It's just out there. Yeah,
so oh, shit.
It won't go away, it's just out on the store just for
how
free.
Long did it take you to download?
It wasn't very big, I can't remember. It didn't take very long. My internet's pretty fast, so I'm kind of biased on how fast things download, so I'm not really sure. It was fast to me. It wasn't a big download though.
That's
But oh,
cool.
also there's definitely some Sekiro Dark Souls kind of vibes too, because when you go to a hub and save your game and maybe pick up some supplies or whatever, when you come back into the world, the enemies you killed are back again. So keep that in mind too. So enemies do respawn after you go to a save hub
Oh,
type.
okay. Yeah, I remember that
There's some
from
of that.
Sekiro. Yeah,
So there is some of that going on.
not as difficult like as a Souls game, you think, or soul crushingly punishing.
No,
Was
I don't think so.
was
I
that
don't
too
think it
negative? Sorry.
is. I don't think it's that bad. I mean, but it was just a demo, so I wasn't very far or anything like that. It wasn't like a later level or a later portion of the game or anything. It's probably just an earlier chunk that they're having you play, I believe, just like that first half an hour or whatever.
Nice.
So
That's cool.
definitely give it a shot. It's
Do you
PS5 only, right?
Jose and Joe, do you guys have PS5s? No.
Only got my PC.
I don't
Gotta
have a
wait.
PS5.
Yep.
Let's say it's supposed to drop on, I think it's a PS5, but I'm not sure if it'll be on PC off the bat.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
don't
it's a
see it on
PS5.
Steam, so that's
PS5 is
typically a
exclusive.
good.
I'm sure
Yeah,
they'll
I
put it
know
in.
it's definitely exclusive to start. How do you guys feel about like exclusives as a concept? Do you feel like they are like good for the industry, bad for the industry? Like
They're
I don't.
dying out.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if it's good or bad for the industry. I mean, it is nice that, I guess if you are Sony or Microsoft or whoever, you love it because, hey, you're coming here to get Mario. You're coming here to get, blank. For us, as the gamers, people buying this shit, it's like, it'd be nice if it was just everywhere and I can just get it on whatever platform I want. Let me buy your thing on whatever I want to buy it on. As long as I'm playing it, who gives a shit? And I paid for it or whatever,
Yeah. Once
That's
upon a
cool.
time, sorry, today.
Oh, you good? Go for it.
I'd say like once upon a time, like it made sense to have exclusives because like the architecture was so different. But like nowadays it they're basically just making it like doing a port from console to a different console or console to PC or PC to console or whatever. Nowadays is more of a just make sure that it has a controller mapping or a keyboard and mouse mapping. That's about it, really. I'm sure there's more on the like server side stuff. Having to work through all that, but like I feel like the differences between a PlayStation and an Xbox are severely like diminished compared to how like a Xbox 360 and a PlayStation 3 or even like a original Xbox and PlayStation 2 or something where so I mean for that reason I don't know like it almost makes exclusives almost like simultaneously make less sense but also more sense like it makes less sense on like the logical side because a developer is more easily able to make it for multiple consoles. But it also makes more sense because the differences between an Xbox and a PlayStation are so small that they kind of need those exclusives just to be like, hey, here is a reason to buy a PlayStation over an Xbox. If the hardware itself is basically the same, if the software itself is basically the same, the capabilities are basically the same, you need that extra value proposition there to get people to buy one over the other. So I don't know. Kind of makes me think about how there's those rumors that Xbox is going to be getting out of the Xbox game, and they're just going to start doing software only with Game Pass and PC and all that sort of stuff. But
The cloud gaming and all that.
yeah.
It could. I
I
mean, it
mean,
wouldn't
like,
bother.
I'm not a fan from a because it forces you to like buy. So if there's some, if I want to play Spider-Man, like I have to buy a whole new console, and that's annoying.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that there is this idea of like it keeps sort of people from getting a monopoly on the industry. Like it keeps like Xbox from sort of, and monopolies are inherently just like bad for consumers, I think, because once someone has the market cornered, they can sort of do whatever they want.
Oh,
So
yeah.
it's like a necessary evil almost where I feel like they suck, but it's better that than like having Xbox be the only person making or company making games and then like jacking up prices and all that. So.
Yeah, there's definitely
Yeah.
it's pros and cons to it all. To Joe's point though, it's like I definitely see what we're like, it's always been like Sony and Microsoft kind of being put in the same basket because they're so similar as far as like their hardware and what they're offering you overall. And then you have Nintendo off to the side, just kind of like doing whatever they want in their little sandbox, making their own little sandcastle, and doing all this stuff, and they don't give a crap. But
They're
that's
only
also
exclusives.
exactly right. And then
Yeah.
that's kind of their lane. They know their lane. They're not going fast or anything. They're not doing anything super cool or interesting necessarily, but they're just kind of doing their thing and it works. So that's always interesting because if someone's off doing something different, it does garner more interest sometimes, in my opinion, because it's just something different than the same old that everybody else is doing. So, I mean, there's definitely arguments for either side of it. But that's also one of those things with on the developer side of it, like you were saying, Joe, where it's like, okay, you can make a game for Sony, you can make a game for Xbox as a developer, and they're pretty close, so you're not going to have to do too much work behind the scenes to make that work. Now you want that game on a Switch, you're like, okay, that's not going to work so hot. The hardware is different, and depending on how they set it up and everything, it's going to be a bigger barrier of entry to get into that. So my question though, with that in mind, why do you think PC is always so tough for them to like bring over like something over to PC? Like I still noticed Sony's been doing it more lately, but they in the past they were the outliers.
Oh,
Why do
yeah.
you think that is? Like, as far as PC goes, I mean, I know we all kind of have ideas, but I don't know. You think that's gonna hopefully continue to bring those over to PC? And would you be interested as a PC player?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Like, I think it's a great move on Sony's part to start doing that. Like, when they started getting some of their big heavy hitters, like Horizon and God of War and whatnot, and putting those on PC, I think it just made a lot of sense because the PC market is becoming larger. Like, I think a lot of, yeah, it's huge. And, like, I think a lot of people are kind of increasingly having actual PCs that are able to handle this sort of stuff nowadays with how cheap most of the hardware is becoming and how easy it is to set up, like to build your own PC. It's basically Lego bricks now. So I feel like it makes sense from like a business standpoint to continue doing that. I do understand the difficulty of going from a console to a PC just because like the nice thing about console for what it's worth is that you only have to adjust your game to handle one set of hardware, right? So it makes it a lot easier to play test. You can set it up for a specific like target FPS, right? Which for console for the longest time was 30. Now thankfully they're going up to 60. So most games on a PlayStation or Xbox can run themselves at 60. But when you get to PC because of such a wide array of desktops, you want to be able to capture the most of them out there, and you don't want to get the dreaded like your game is unoptimized review that people will tend to throw your way if you're not able to handle the majority of desktops that are like 10 years old.
I just find it
So
really interesting though, because it's like
yeah.
with PC, because like typically when you hear all the yipping and yapping in between like Microsoft and Sony about the share of players, like, oh, who has the bigger share? They have the congruent players over here and this, and you're bringing in all these players from the PS4 to the PS5, and there is a massive amount of people already on that. Well, think about PC. It's like for Microsoft or Sony or even Nintendo, which they will never play ball, I'm pretty sure. I mean, maybe 10 years from now, maybe Mario ends up on a PC at some point.
I don't see any of it. That's like
I
their
doubt
last
it,
saving grace. I don't know if
but.
you caught on to like the litigation they did against emulators on PC
Right.
recently,
It's never
but
going
it's
to happen.
whoo.
Oh, was it bad?
Congrats.
Yeah,
Oh,
they
yeah.
basically like nuked one of the most common Nintendo emulators from orbit, and that they're like, okay, we're not doing this anymore.
Wow,
Nintendo does
and
not care.
when did that
Yeah.
happen?
Like a month or so ago, I think.
Oh, wow.
They're like Doberman Pinschers of like, we're gonna get you if no matter how big or small we're coming. Like they're very adamant about that stuff. But to my point though, it's like it's just weird because you would think that Sony and Microsoft specifically, at the very least, And I know Microsoft is doing more in that space than anybody else as far as, you know, the big ones. But it's like you have nearly 2 billion people playing PC games. I mean, nearly 2 billion. Think about that. Like, if you can get your game to the masses in that way, it's just as huge as, you know, having a hit on just PlayStation. And that's just one console. So it's like, why wouldn't you want to be on PlayStation and drop it over there? Like that's why I kind of gravitate more towards Microsoft and that kind of how their ideologies are anymore and how they're kind of going about their thing. They're like, dude, we don't give a shit if you buy our console. Play it over here. Play it in the cloud. Play it on your phone. You know, play it on your, you know, Xbox One. Play it on your Series S. Whatever. And I kind of like that a lot more because you give me more freedom and you're like, hey, as long as you're in our ecosystem, we're rolling with you. You know, I wish Sony would kind of take a little bit of that. And they haven't had to do anything like that since they've been the leader for the last 2 years. I mean, 2 years for the last two generations. You know, this generation they've been leading, they definitely led last generation the entire time. So they came into this one like, well, we don't have to do any of this and screw you guys and screw you over there. And you know, they kind of got up their own asses this time around and they're kind of paying for it a little bit this time around. So I don't know.
This is wild. I had no idea. Like PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo all have roughly 120 million players. MPC is like 1.86 billion worldwide.
Maybe
Like
2 billion
that's
untapped market.
Well, just think
insane.
about the like this like over in Japan, over in South Korea, where like League of Legends and esports and whatnot are such a huge part of society. I mean, it's in America too, but like I feel like PC gaming is huge.
Right. So why wouldn't you want to tap into that? I mean, Ben, say it for the people in the back. How many does Microsoft have and how many does Sony have?
Like around 120. Microsoft has 100, or Xbox has 120 million. Or PlayStation has 123 million. Nintendo has 116 million.
Yeah, 1.16 million, 1.23 million compared
No,
to
123 million.
okay, 123, excuse me.
Compared to 1.86
Yeah,
billion. I
like
mean,
yeah.
it's like ridiculous. Yeah.
Get it on the PC. That's all I'm saying. Like somebody should make a slogan. Get it on PC. I
I can
don't know.
also see though, like PC, like Steam, stuff like that really doesn't give a shit if you get those games over. Like, I don't see any
Yeah.
incentive from PC with a player base that large to be like, we need,
Oh no.
fucking Spider-Man. Like, they don't care.
Right.
Like, they already have sort of the
Valve.
market cornered.
Yeah, Valve is doing fine. They have set up their system in such a brilliant way to be pr like very consumer friendly, to basically have no reason not to use them. Like they are just the best store for PC. It's great. Like
Valve?
Epic, Valve, yeah, the makers of Steam.
Oh, I didn't realize they were the makers of Steam. Okay, cool.
AKA also the same makers of Left 4 Dead and for or not Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, you're right.
It is Left 4 Dead?
Left,
Okay.
yeah, I'm gonna say
Or
Left 4
did
Dead.
they just publish it?
Can't remember. I'm gonna look it up here.
I
Keep
remember
going.
it being, I don't know, maybe
Honestly.
either way, Portal and Half-Life, those are the two big ones.
Yeah, Portal, Half-Life, Team Fortress 2, Dota
Yeah,
2, yeah.
DF2,
Yeah,
which is
it's
still
it's Left 4 Dead as well.
freaking alive today, which is
Left 4 Dead is
wild.
can't crazy.
They just
Yeah,
can't
'cause I
count
played
played
three. That's all.
yeah.
I played at Left 4 Dead on Xbox 360 when I played it.
Past two, I should say, because everything's what? They don't do threes ever. Now
No,
they're
yeah.
doing threes. You know, the list goes on.
Although
Yeah.
that like what did you think of that Left 4 Dead, like the not Left 4 Dead, but like what
Back for
Back
Blood.
4 Blood, yeah. What'd you
Yeah. I
guys think of
enjoyed
that?
it. I
Yeah, it
fell
was
off
fun.
it, but I enjoyed it.
I'm sure it's probably a lot better now. On release, I feel like it left a lot to be desired. There's a lot of points when I was playing it where I was like, I kind of just wish I was playing Left 4 Dead 2, Like,
Yeah.
it had a lot of cool moments, but there's a lot of bugs and there's a lot of like gameplay moments. I remember making notes of like something to do with the weapon variety or using weapons or something where I think it was the customization and having to like attach things to it. You can like remove attachments once you added them, and I don't know. It was just a lot of disparate parts that didn't really fit together, in my opinion. I'm sure it's a lot better because I played it like right on release, so it's
Same.
probably
And Joel.
fixed all of that.
Joel and some of us were playing it off and on over the last couple of years. We haven't touched it in probably over a year though, but by the way
Yeah.
it sounds, the developers last year, I believe last summer, they stopped pumping out content for it and patches and things of that nature. Just like, hey, we're done with the game, just play it, go
Yeah.
for it. So it makes sense. It also kind of, that kind of parlays into another thing that I was kind of wondering about when it comes to games like that that rely on you to play it, like a live kind of service game or something that relies on you to be able to play with a community of people. For instance, like the Friday the 13th game, when that was out, loved that game. It was so fun playing the asymmetric, once one person gets to be Jason, or but and you got like seven camp counselors. Jason has powers, he's trying to kill you. Did anybody else touch that years ago when it came out? Like 6 years ago, something like that, or whatever it was.
I
It was
didn't.
fun.
I remember it came out around the same time as Dead by Daylight. I think Dead by Daylight won the fight.
Yeah. They also had some legal stuff going on with like the
Oh, yeah.
licensing and stuff, so that kind of killed it a little bit too. A lot of bugs, but it was one of those games where the bugs didn't deter you from playing it, and it kind of almost made it more endearing in some small ways and more fun. But or like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, a similar one that we played together for a while. Some of us were playing that in the same vein. I like games like that. I just wish they got more love and more support so that they weren't so, for lack of a better word, so janky when they first drop.
Yeah, that is a perfect word to describe those games. Like, unfortunately.
It makes you wonder why they're like that. Like, did they not get time? Did the powers that be, force it out the door sooner because they want to, get sales before their, quarterly numbers hit? What's going on there?
If I had to guess from my like not being in the industry or really knowing for sure what's happening, like shareholders want an ROI like right away. Developing a game. I mean, it's like Cyberpunk on a smaller scale, like people invested money in that game and they don't really have money to spend on it, and in terms of like paying developers for even longer, it's probably a risk reward scenario where they're like, oh, like we're probably only going to get this much money from a game like this,
Right. No, that's a good
Yeah.
point. Yep, you're probably right. Yeah, but I enjoy those so much, but they're usually a flash in the pan for me because, the game comes out, you're excited to play it. And then like with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, there was like 2 months there in the beginning when the game first dropped, which is critical because that's when you're going to get the most people trying to touch it. A lot of people couldn't even get in. I couldn't get in most of the time. It would just try to load me in, and then I would get an error message and I couldn't play. There was nights where we'd all get on, and one or two of us couldn't get in the room. And so it's like, well, if I can't ever get in this game, and I was super excited for it. There was days where I would just like, oh, I'm gonna play some more, and I go get on and I can't. And eventually I was like, you know what, screw it, I'm just not gonna play it. I put my time into something else and I just abandoned it. And I was like one
Yep.
of the biggest people that loved it. So it's like, what are you doing to your player base when that kind of thing happens? So it's definitely a love-hate relationship with those types of games. I love them, but they're always janky when they first drop.
People's attention spans are so short too these days that like, yeah, it's really easy for people to just forget your game exists. If it's not going to work, they're going to find something else to play.
Yeah. And I mean, there's also just a lot of choice too. I mean, not to bring this back to PC, but I feel like every week there's a new like huge indie game or huge game that comes out on Steam that's like everyone has to play. So yeah, it's pretty easy to find a game that sucks and be like, I'm not going to play this. I'm going to play this other new game and see if that one sucks.
Yeah, there really is so many choices now, I feel like.
Yeah. And then Helldivers came out, and now no other game exists.
It's all anyone talks about.
I didn't
It's
decide
still
it yet.
so good.
I'm
I
so
need to jump
bummed I
in with some
can't play
people that know
it.
to play.
What's that, Jose?
I'm so bummed I can't play it. It's
Like,
Halo basically, and just like I can't touch it because I don't have a PS5.
I think it'll come to other platforms sooner or later. You know what I mean? I think I can see it being on more stuff. I mean, it's only on PC and PS5 right now. I can see it coming to Xbox at some point.
Once
I'm
the
sure.
hype is dead.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know. The game is huge, so I don't think it's going to die down anytime soon. As long as they're supporting it appropriately, I think it'll be fine. I tried it finally last week here and played with some randos and accidentally killed one of my teammates. I'm shooting at these bugs and he just kind of strafes in front of me and I just Shoot him right in the back of the head, and he's just on the ground. And then I felt bad because he's waiting for me to, it's just me, he and I, because another guy was in it, he dropped out. So the two of us are there, and I'm getting chased by all these bugs, and I'm trying to figure out what button to hit to call him back, because I did the tutorial, but I'm like, in the moment, it's like, you don't remember that shit until you get used to the buttons. So I'm
Yep.
running around, he's sitting there waiting, he's dead. I'm trying to figure out how to throw the thing down on the ground so that he drops out of the sky and he comes back. And I didn't bring him back for like 15 minutes. And then somebody else finally came into the room and then he brought him back. And I felt like such an asshole. I wanted to like message him, like, I'm so sorry, dude. I'm still learning the buttons. But I think he figured it out because I was like level one and he was level one. And
Yeah.
the guy came in with like level like 20 or 30 or whatever. He was way higher than us. But it was one of those funny moments that people were talking about.
I just
Yeah.
read Phil Spencer on Helldivers 2 not being on Xbox. I'm not exactly sure who it helps. Like PlayStation? I don't know. I mean, there's a
No, I mean, it
difference between
is.
it not helping anyone and it not helping Xbox or Microsoft.
Yeah, I see
Yeah.
what you're saying, but
I
it's like,
mean, I don't know, but like, yeah, what were you gonna say, Joe? Sorry, I mean to cut you off.
it is primarily published by PlayStation, so I think that's a big part of it is that's why it's not on Xbox. If it wasn't primarily, if that wasn't their main money funding source, then it probably would have been on Xbox, because I mean their past games have been on Xbox, I'm pretty sure.
Question for you,
Yeah.
for the for everybody.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say question. Sorry, I cut you guys off first. I was just gonna say question for you guys. Do you think that with how successful it has been, that someone's gonna try to scoop up Arrowhead Game Studios, or maybe I'm not in the know already. Does somebody have them under their umbrella already, or are they independent?
I just
Kind of.
thought of that scene from Justice League where Bruce Wayne is like, I bought the bank. I feel like someone is eventually gonna ask like Phil Spencer, like, how'd you get Helldivers? He's gonna be like, I bought the studio.
That's what I'm saying, like, because it's a hit right now, and as long as nobody runs it into the ground and they're allowed to keep doing what they're doing, and you know, I think this game is going to continue to do gangbusters. But what's the likelihood that Sony or Microsoft tries to scoop them up under their you know, their stable of developers
They're
and studios?
probably
Yeah.
already trying to do it again because they're still an independent. So my guess is they're probably fighting, seeing, dropping the money, who drops the bigger load of money.
Yeah,
I'm hoping Microsoft does it.
I'm
If
actually looking
somebody
at their
wants to get.
history right now, and so they've only been on PlayStation and PC.
Oh,
They've
okay. Their entire
never released a
history?
game on Xbox, which
Ooh, okay. That
kind of
definitely
sucks,
changes it.
but I do feel like they're kind of in the same vein as like CD Projekt Red, though, where I don't know if they're interested in getting bought out because they weren't ready for Helldivers 2 to explode like it did. They were not expecting this sort of reception. I don't think they have the like idea in their head of like, oh, let's make a hit and then we'll get bought out and get even more money. I feel like, because I mean their games have always been very, it's a very specific kind of game. Like even if you go all the way back to 2011 when they made Magicka has a lot of the same sort of features and thematics as Helldivers 2, specifically with the like stratagem style of gameplay and the friendly fire and all that sort of stuff. It's always been their like way of making games. So I feel like they're comfortable just making the games that they want to make and going from there. And I feel like if they were to be bought out, they would kind of lose that. And I don't think they're, yeah, I don't think they're independently traded. So I don't think they could be like hostile takeover or anything like that. So
Yeah,
I think,
it would just surprise me if nobody tried, you know what I mean? Like, and
oh
like
yeah.
everybody did try. Like, I see Microsoft being more like democratic about it. Like, okay, yeah, keep doing what you're doing. We don't want to uproot anything you guys got going. We just want to be supportive back here in the scenes. Here's the money. Take what you need. Let us know. I'll be over here. Phil Spencer's like, you know, blowing him kisses as he leaves the room, kind of thing. Where, you know, I feel like
Yeah.
Sony is in my mind, at least, has become more villainous with the way they kind of do shit like that. Try to
And
kind
then,
of hold it to themselves, don't want to share it with the world kind of thing.
I mean, I feel like, I think they should just stay independent, honestly. I mean, we need more independence than, like, what Ben said is like with the monopolization. Oh, man, words are big, but
That one
you
isn't.
got it, man.
I got it. It took me a while, but it's just, I just don't.
I
I
mean,
lost my train of thought. Damn.
who are the big indie devs? We have Larian, we have CD Projekt Red, we have Arrowhead. Is there anyone else that you can think of that's
People are
like,
considering indie CD Projekt. What is indie?
well,
Does indie even mean anything anymore? Like, what the fuck does that even mean
I
anymore?
feel like indie is just like a developer that just makes their own games and kind of that's they
Independent.
have like their games that they make. And like, yeah, CD Projekt is huge. But what do? They do Witcher and they do Cyberpunk and they do Gwent and that's it. So like
That's a
I would
lot.
still consider them an indie.
Ubisoft is an indie game publisher.
I guess they do GOG too.
I don't know.
Well,
Yeah.
Ubisoft does a ton of stuff. I wouldn't consider them indie. Like
I
they
it's
to me like
considered an indie, like.
indie to me is like Stardew Valley and like I don't
Yeah.
know. I guess I understand. Like it's that's what I mean is it's so kind of hard to define these days because it's like I would not
Yeah.
personally consider the studio that makes like The Witcher to be indie in the but I don't know. I guess it's
But
hard to
they're not, the
really
thing
put
is,
your
like,
finger.
they're not owned by either
Anyone?
or. They
Yeah.
drop games on both sides.
Right.
So I think that's considered like indie to way to, I think the term indie has changed in the past years as to like small games that come out, and now it's like small. Now it's like stuff that's not owned by big companies.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's changed, honestly. Indie has always meant independent. It's just a shorter version of the word
Yeah.
independent. So if a studio is independent, we are the ones that have put that connotation that it is usually a smaller studio because more times than not, it is. The
So
bigger
would you?
studios are usually gobbled up by bigger companies and then they have more say on it. And now it's not necessarily an independent studio anymore because Microsoft owns them or Sony owns them. Which you can be an indie and be owned by a bigger studio. It's just, are you independently doing your thing or is somebody else putting their fingers in the pie kind of thing is kind of how I've always looked at it.
So
Speaking of.
an indie studio or an indie, I guess, would you say it's possible for there to be an indie game that is also a AAA title?
Oh yeah.
I feel like they're contrasting, in my
Yeah.
opinion. I feel like they're
Yeah.
more contrasting than anything.
Like to me that those, I don't know, like to me those two things negate each other, but it's like,
Well, if we're
I don't
gonna.
know. Would you consider Helldivers 2 to be a AAA title?
At this point, I don't have
You're
enough like knowledge to answer that question, I guess, in
gonna
my
say
mind. Like if
yes.
I had to answer it just off of like my own instinct, it's like super hot right now. Like everyone's playing it. It's really like they're having a trouble scaling up to that. So I feel like they're getting to that AAA status if they're not already there.
What about No Man's Sky? Is that
No
AAA?
Man's Sky is indie. I'd say that's
Even
indie.
though No Man's Sky is literally
But
the only game of note that they've ever made.
it's slid and more into AAA though, because
Yeah.
I mean,
What is a tr there's I mean, we're
okay,
acting like
here.
there's this is an interpretive thing. Like, what is a AAA
I
game?
got some info here. So check it. Okay, AAA games are synonymous with more high-end visuals, extensive marketing, and large development teams. That's typically what a AAA game is like some of the things that embodies in there. In contrast, smaller studios typically develop indie games where they're focusing on creativity and innovation. Now, that's more times than not, that's because there's a smaller budget. So, which is contrasting against the AAA stuff where they have a large budget, extensive marketing, and way better visuals because of that budget. So, indie game is usually independently owned or a smaller studio developing something that's more focused on creativity and innovation because of those, parameters they're having to work within. So that's where that comes from, I guess, if that helps. Between those extremes, though, lie double A games, which are more balanced quality and manageable budgets, which kind of pulls from both sides of it. So, I mean, you can always throw that another wrench into the situation with double A games, I guess. I don't know.
Right. That's cool. I was more just like curious. I was talking to the guy that like runs the game design department at our college, and he was like, we were talking about indie games and sort of what it used to mean and what it means now, and like how it's just changed so much over the years. And like, it's almost like there almost like isn't such a thing anymore, like if you're going by what it used to mean.
Yeah, I guess another way to put it too, I found something that says the idea of an independent game is one that is produced without the support, financially or otherwise, of a publisher. It doesn't matter what size of the publisher. If a publisher is backing it, it isn't indie.
Which, like, at this point in this day and age, like, you
That's
can make
really
a
rare.
If you can make a PC game without the support of a publisher. You cannot really make a game and port it over to consoles without the support of a pub. Like, it's almost impossible now to build a game and port it over to Xbox or PlayStation without the support of a publisher. So it almost doesn't happen anymore. Like the days of like Stardew Valley and stuff, or I think he even needed help to port his stuff over to consoles.
Yeah, I believe it.
So
yeah. I do miss it with the indie talk. It does make me reminisce about like, remember like the Xbox Live Days of Summer, whatever it was, or was it Xbox Live Days or something like that? I can't remember what it was, but they would put this spotlight on just indie games all summer long. Like a new game was dropping like every damn week, and it was banger after banger of like these good indie games that we now know and love, and go, man, like I wish they'd do something like that again, where they're really putting a spotlight on that stuff. I know indie games get much more love now than they ever used to, but man, it'd be nice if somebody was really putting like, hey, check out this showcase where all it is just indie games coming at you. Get your eyeballs ready, and then you know, here we go. I wish there was more of that.
I mean, Steam does that 100%. Like there are events that they do. I think one happened in February where they got it was either February, actually I think it was last month, where they got like hundreds of indie games, and anyone who wanted to create their own demo, they could do it during this thing, and they would showcase all of these different demos that you could try out. And it would be kind of like an advertising for small little games. One of the developers for RimWorld, for mods, was making their own game, and they put it on there, and it was a lot of fun. So it's a cool little thing.
Where do you
another
like,
reason why Steam is amazing?
Where do you keep up with like events like that, Joe? Like when you, I mean, is there like something you follow, or do you just like?
I mean, Steam does it front and center. Like when you go to the store, whenever there's an event going on, like they do publisher sales, they do IP sales, they do like all these different events, and they're always kind of cycling through. So when you go to the store, like specifically for that, it was like a bigger than normal event. So they just had like a huge thing on the front of the page, and it was like a whole setup. So
I need to get in there more often. Like if I had a better PC
same.
Or had a Steam Deck or something like that, I think. Because whenever I have been in Steam here and there over the years, it like you said, it's always got a ton of indie stuff in there, and it's lovely. It's awesome how it's laid out for you, and like the satisfaction percentage, and people like, this is amazing, you got to try it kind of stuff. And so I would love to do that more if my PC wasn't so old and whatnot. I really want to get a Steam Deck at some point here, maybe later this year, and then I can really dive into that stuff. But
heck yeah,
awesome.
Oh man, I've heard really good things about Steam Decks.
Yeah, Steam Decks are dope. I still think it's worth getting your own gaming PC, especially in today's day and age. I think you can do it for like $1,200 or so. And
oh, that's not terrible.
You get a pretty good one.
Especially if you hit like, I mean, I got mine on like Facebook Marketplace and bought it off a kid. But I mean, I know that's like not, I don't know. It has its pros and cons. You got to like make sure what you're getting is not like fucked up or something. But like I got like monitors, everything for about $1,000, I think.
Yeah,
it's a good deal.
I'll convert you all yet.
Yeah,
you're no, man.
You gonna bring us over? I'm ready, man.
You're in the dark.
I just need the money.
I can't.
Right. What I'm also ready for is this Fallout TV show. I don't know if anybody else is excited for this or not. If you guys was on your radar, if you've forgotten, and now you're like, oh, thank you for saying something. Oh, for
that'd
now,
be pretty good.
Dude, days from now, it's coming out. It looks good. The trailer looked amazing. I mean, the casting looks really good. I mean, you got Walter Goggins in here. Come on. Like, dude's running around with no nose. Like, he's an amazing actor. I don't know if you guys watched any of his other stuff, like, the Righteous Gemstones, and he's in there, Baby
So
Billy.
good.
He's hilarious. Baby Billy's Bible
God,
Bonkers.
I love Righteous Gemstones so much.
Yes, like, he's amazing. I think Ella is gonna do well. Ella Purnell, she's the lead, the lead actress in there. She's playing Lucy. I'm super excited. And then Michael Emerson, like, I don't know if you've seen him in different things. I mean, I'm sure you have, but when you look at his face, you're like, oh yeah, I know that guy, but I don't recognize his name. He plays a really good villain in almost everything he's in. He's just one of those just sneaky, just backhanded, just really conniving, you want to punch him in the face kind of guys. Like, he's not over the top villainous, but he's just real, just slimy. I want to really beat his ass kind of thing. But I think this is gonna be good. What do you guys think?
Oh, I think so too. I mean, I feel like a lot of these niche or tie-in shows or shows from other IPs, they're getting better. Like the last like 10 years or so, I feel like has shown that you can have really good shows that aren't initially shows. And I think that kind of came from Marvel. Say what you want about Marvel, but the way that they did their shows, I think, was a template that a lot of other people are able to use.
Well, I
Well,
think
I was gonna go.
I'm excited for it, okay, but I never played any of the games because it's not.
What?
I tried so many times and
Does
I
that
couldn't get
mean?
into the games, but I'm
Classics.
excited for the series. Yes, blasphemy.
Cool
No,
Point
I
Dudley.
said they're classics. They're
Oh.
Point Dudley.
Also blasphemy, but
Also,
yeah.
no, yeah,
Three against
yeah,
one.
just bring it up, bring on the hate, but I'm
Yeah.
never gonna touch a Fallout game.
I got more hate for you after this the podcast. I'll be
It's
texting you. You stay
okay.
away.
I've never really played Halo other than like two rounds with you guys, so that's equally blasphemous, I feel like, in
Well,
gamers' eyes.
I'm glad you brought that up, because much like what Joe was saying, we're like bringing these IPs over, specifically gaming IPs that are being brought to the forefront and being made into shows and changing their changing that format up a little bit. I love it lately because they're doing a really good job. Twisted Metal was a decent show. It wasn't
Really?
terrible.
Was it good?
It wasn't great to me. I know TJ loved it. I enjoyed it. They did a good job having some fun with that, and I
That's
like what they kind
good.
of went with it. Yeah.
That's all you can ask for. Joe, you look
Halo.
skeptical, Joe.
It did not look like the kind of thing that would translate well to a show, but I'm
It
in
was
for it.
okay. I was
Yeah.
open-minded to it. It
Gave
was
me
fine.
Rampage vibes from the trailer. Like I was like, really? We're making a movie out of this? Okay.
Right.
Like, let's
Yeah,
see.
the show was fine. But Halo season two blew the doors off the whole thing, because season one was like, okay, whatever. People were mad. Oh, Master Chief took his helmet off. Master Chief had sex during this first season. And I mean,
What?
it showed his butt. You know what I mean? Like,
Shows butt. We saw Master butt.
within the first couple episodes, he took his helmet off immediately, and then he got busy. I mean, I'm
We live in an age now where we've gotten Batman butt, now we've gotten Master Chief butt. I just want to know whose butt we're gonna see next, you know? Like,
excited.
what a
If we can
time to be
find him.
alive. Like,
What
yeah.
a time. But it's cool though how like these shows are figuring out their stuff. I mean, we have a what is it, a BioShock show coming at some point,
What? We do?
I think Netflix is doing that.
That'll be
So
fun.
it's gonna
Netflix show.
that would translate so well to a show, I think.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Netflix makes me nervous though.
Right.
It's probably gonna get canceled.
They're really good at taking properties that I think would be great shows and making them
But I think they
mediocre,
would
like not
market.
good, not bad, like just kind of, eh, it
Yeah,
was
One
okay.
Piece live action wasn't bad.
I
Yeah,
think
I
the
heard One Piece
direction
guy.
of
Might have been a One Piece guy, so I don't know.
I'm just burned from Altered Carbon. That was
Yeah.
such a blue balls moment, to be honest. Like the first half of the first season was so good, and then they r just completely removed all level of like intrigue or fun
Yeah, worth the
cyberpunk
watch.
stuff in the second half, and then the second season was like, whatever.
Is it worth the watch now, would you say? I never got into it. I know some people recommended it. I just never got around to it.
Yeah, I mean, if you need something to binge, I'd say feel free to watch it. It's not bad. It's just like
It's not
the start
good.
of the first season has this like whole like, ooh, what's actually happening sort of thing, and then they actually reveal what's actually happening. And it's the most mundane sort of things, like really, really, and they do a lot of like hand wavy, like, oh yeah, this person was here this whole time, and okay, whatever.
You're gonna
It
do
was
something like that,
just really
keep it going.
lazy.
Yeah. If you're gonna
I'm
do the whole intrigue thing, like keep it going. Like,
Yeah,
why not?
exactly. Especially with Cyberpunk. Yeah.
I'm burned like that from Cowboy Bebop, man. Like that
Mm.
to me, like the cast, like the way it looked, like that felt like it was gonna be such a slam dunk. And like
Agreed.
it was like really, man,
It was
really?
okay.
It was just okay. Like it, and that's like kinda what they do.
Right. I'd say
Trickkid.
right now this Fallout show has a chance to really like set the bar
It
for
looks good. Like it
games.
looks really, really good. Isn't the guy who made Chernobyl involved in this too? I thought I saw something about that.
Not 100% sure on that.
Not, never mind. Because he's the one who made like The Last of Us series too. I don't think he's involved. Never mind. I think I'm confused.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that.
I had a piece. I had a piece of news I wanted to see if anyone had a knowledge or opinions on.
Go for it.
Does anyone know anything about this Roblox situation with child labor and stuff? Anyone read about
I'm
this?
not surprised. Roblox has always been the most shady company that has ever existed. I can't believe it's survived this long being so damn predatory.
There, so like the CEO came out and said like he's basically giving gifts to like underage children and living in slums across the world by letting them like make games in his system and like make like chump change off it while they're making a lot of money off it.
Oh,
And I
yeah.
started reading about this. It's pretty wild, man. Like with what they're doing with like, because they have people who can make games within their system and be sold on the store, and like if they get enough like traction, they can make a little bit of money off it, like underage kids can. And like the amount of money that Roblox makes off that is like crazy. And the way the CEO talks about it is just, you can see PR come out later and be like, that's not really what he means. What he means is like we're sensitive towards the culture in other companies and yeah, or countries and stuff, but it's just wild to read about.
Not surprised. I mean, when everyone else and every other part of the industry was like, oh, monetization is really bad and loot boxes are really bad and all this other stuff is really bad. Meanwhile, Roblox is doing literally all of that targeted towards 8-year-olds, and we're like,
Roblox
okay
is
with
like,
it.
let's see how we can
We have
incorporate
parents who,
underage children into this mix.
Dude, we had to take
and we have
Roblox away from from Gia, our youngest,
good.
for a while there because she was playing it, and like you said, it's very predatory, what
Yeah.
they're doing, some of that
It's
stuff. And so we didn't let her play for a long time. She's gonna be 14 soon. So I'm like, you play whatever you
Yeah.
want for the most part within reason, as long as you're being smart about it.
Yeah. And 14 is kind of like the age where they're probably going to wean themselves off of that sort of
Yeah.
game, I think. Yeah.
She's been really gravitating towards Hitman 3 lately, like
Yeah.
exclusive
Oh,
targets and
cool.
stuff. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. Like, she's more the online gamer, where Taylor, our oldest, is more of the story driven. Like, I want to watch you play a really good story or play a good story myself. G is more like, no, I want to go online and chase people down with this weapon or whatever and stuff. He's like, yeah,
Yeah,
okay.
man.
Cut from the same cloth, two different pieces of cloth here. And let's, I'm cool. I can travel between the two worlds with you guys. We can make this
Yeah.
work. It is a good time to play Fortnite with the two of them, though. Like, now that they are both playing online and stuff like that. So, it's awesome.
That's fun. That sounds like a great time.
Man,
Yeah.
like, talk about a fun game. Sorry, I'm jumping topics again. I'm just keeping it
Knock
moving.
yourself out.
So I thought I had played Towerfall Ascension before, but I was mistaken. So I downloaded it last night when my brother-in-law was over. Jesus Christ, I have never played. Like, we played the whole thing last night. It's like I've never played a local co-op game that is that much fun. It's ridiculous how much fun we had playing that.
Yeah,
I know, Joe, you played it. Has anyone else played it?
I haven't played that in a long time. If I don't remember playing it anytime recently.
Yeah, it's on PS Plus. If do you have two controllers for your PlayStation? You do? Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yep.
You should get it and play it with like someone in your house. Sorry, Joe, you're gonna say something about
Kendra
it.
Was playing a ton of this.
Oh, I was just gonna say the, because this is the one that has Savant as the soundtrack, I think.
I'm not sure about that. It's like a 2D sort of platformer, but you're just in one area, and there's like five sort of phases per round, and it gets progressively harder. And they also have a hardcore mode. It's made by the person who made Celeste. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's got that. It feels
Taylor and her boyfriend.
It is ridiculous. If you can get it on PS Plus, Mondo, it takes like 3 minutes to download, and it's like, it's such a good time to play with friend, you know, your family or whatever.
Yeah, I have it already. Taylor was really on me last year in the fall about playing this, because her and her boyfriend were playing it like constantly, and whenever she come home on the weekends, she would be playing it, and she got me played a little bit with her. I didn't get super deep into it, but I definitely want to, and I totally forgot about this till you brought it up now. So maybe I'll tap into this so that when she comes home this summer, she graduates next month, so she'll be home and just working and stuff. So I'll definitely want to be on my A game when she wants to play this, so I can not die immediately and actually be helpful.
It's really, and you can play the whole game, and like, it's not a very long game. I mean, there's like a map with, I think there's like 5 or 10 levels, and yeah. The creator of the game, though, they had a game called Earthblade that was coming out this year, and I guess they said it's not coming out this year, so I'm kind of bummed about that, because that's kind of like my favorite developer. So I guess there was some holdups or something. So.
Yeah, I think we have it on the Switch, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe I'll snag it on PlayStation or Xbox, just so I have it on something else.
Nice.
I'm on it. Yeah, let me know if you can play that some night. I'm in.
No, it's like, it's local. You can't play it multiplayer online. It's like you need two controllers, and it's like local multiplayer only.
There it is. Local multiplayer indie 2D fighter action. Okay, yep. Gotcha. Okay.
Yep. Be a fun thing to do, like at a game night at your house sometime too, though.
Yeah, I'm down for that. How many players can you play up to?
That's just
four,
two. Oh, is it four? No, you're right. It is four. Yeah, you can choose four at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Let's do that sometime.
It was super fun, though, man. We were having a great time.
Anything else anybody want to talk about before we wrap up? Or,
well, I think we talked about Helldivers for a bit. One of the things, I do just want to point this out because it just happened. One of the things I really like about the game is that they have this concept of like the dungeon master or game master, right? Who like controls, like putting scenarios at the player, and the players can like do different things, right? Well, just now as we were doing our podcast, they had a kind of event where, right now there's two factions, right? You have the robots and you have the bugs. And we just completely eliminated the robots from the game. So the robots are not in the game anymore. Of course, they're probably going to come back in some description, or they're going to introduce a new faction, but stuff like that I think is really cool. I like the idea of having an actually evolving game.
Nice. So.
Yeah. Hopefully they could keep that on for a good while. Cause...
I mean, I would not be surprised. They had... the first game, Helldivers 1, had the same exact system, and it was going since 2015. So,
oh, nice.
9 years.
Yeah. I mean, the way this is evolving right now reminds me of early days of, I mean, you guys are going to make fun of me probably, but like it reminds me personally of like early days of Fortnite, when like things were just served and the map was changing, and the game, it was like super hot and everyone was into it, and the game was sort of evolving and stuff. And now it's like, who gives a shit about Fortnite? Or I don't know. That's how I feel anyway. But like,
I agree.
Yeah. But like, it kind of reminds me of in those early days, it was like super fun and I was all over the news about it and stuff. So
I think it's funny too, how the community, when you like go to an article about it, or you join, you see people talking about it. It's just the funny stuff. Like, there was an article that I saw. I mean, I think it was a short on YouTube. Somebody was playing it, or it's like they were doing something funny, and it was like just a little short. But then I went into the comments and people were like, you know, commenting about what was going on. And then somebody said something about, you know, oh, well, you need to be helping with this fight over here. Because I guess there was a big old thing, because people were fighting on a planet that didn't need help. or something. Correct me if I'm wrong on this because I'm still new to the game.
No, that
And they're
sounds
like,
100% right. Yeah.
yeah. And so they're like, hey, man, the fight is over here. You're on this other planet that we've already liberated that we don't need to do. And you're just mining, you're doing your thing over there, messing around. You'd be over here. And it sounds like treason to me. And it sounds like this. And then like, they're all like getting all like political about it within a game. Like this meta about it is so funny. And I was just sitting there
Yeah.
scrolling, laughing about it because I'm like new to it. Like, this is hilarious.
Well, as of right now, there's two
Awesome.
factions in the company that are technically like there's this one group of Helldivers that are killing a certain group that have a certain flag
Yeah,
on them. And it's just
asshole.
like, and then they kill each other if they're like, well, doesn't this look like kind of like a genocide thing? Like we're in someone else's land, we're trying to liberate quotation marks. You're just like, I want to know. I really want to play this game because I'm very interested on in where it's going to go and what's going to happen to it in the future. So it's going to make me want to buy a PS5 right now.
100
Or just
percent.
get a PC.
Just get a PC
Yeah.
and a PS5, man. Just and then like, you know.
I love how you say it, like it's just
Yeah,
like you just
do
walk
it
outside and
right
grab
now.
it.
Do
Just,
it.
you know, take it out of the kids' college fund. You've got years until that's a problem. Student loans are really
Just sell
great.
your car.
I hear there's little to no consequences to borrowing student loans.
Oh yeah, no consequences at all.
I mean, they said that I have to start paying in 6 months, but I'm not really too worried about it, so we'll just, you know.
Sell your vehicle and buy a bunch of PS5s.
Just
Take a
let it
picture
go, you
with it
know.
online. They're all behind you, stacked up. It's gonna be great.
Yeah,
What are they
totally.
gonna do? Come and
Totally.
take my PC? Like,
Ta.
Well, I'm gonna use a PS5 to drive myself to work.
go to virtual
Just get
work.
that
You just be
PS
like Tanner,
PlayStation
virtual
car.
work.
PlayStation makes a car now, right? Like,
Yeah,
be
totally.
like
Like,
Tanner
yeah.
and just simulate your work from home and pretend like you're doing that. You know, work
Yeah.
later. You're fine. You'll be fine.
I'm playing a simulation of working at an office while simulating playing as an office
You keep going.
while I'm simulating car
Yeah, simulate like Rick.
power washing my house.
This is giving me
So,
the Rick and Morty
Tanner.
season one vibes, like
Shout out to
the
Tanner.
simulation of a simulation.
Yeah, shout
Of a
out to Tanner,
simulation.
our resident simulator expert who thinks LeBron's better than
Our
Michael in
resident
golf.
basketball expert.
I love
Is
it.
he even real?
You have to ask Tanner that.
Tanner,
Oh,
are you
like some.
real? Tell us in the group chat.
Yeah.
We need to know.
We'll know what you mean when we get that in like the next few days.
Maybe
Another
Tanner
level.
is like a glitch in the simulation we're living in, like trying to tell us that we're living in a simulation.
Nothing but love for Tanner, his
I love
IG.
Tanner.
Anywho, I guess we'll wrap this up and put a bow on it. Unless you guys have anything else. Is that it? Yeah.
I got nothing.
I'll take silence as golden. As always, guys, thanks so much for listening to us talk about all of the crap we talk about and the fun and the gaming and everything. We appreciate it. Hopefully we'll have another episode for you in another week or two. Otherwise, as always, game on.
Game on.
Game on.
Game on.
How do I fucking stop recording? What the fuck?